I'm Jim Fleming, and this is the podcast of one segment from To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas from PRI, Public Radio International, and Wisconsin Public Radio. What does your body know that you don't? In our health and fitness-obsessed culture, we're always talking about what's wrong with our bodies and how to fix them. This week's excerpt from To the Best of Our Knowledge comes from a program about the wisdom of the body and the science behind mind-body medicine.
The faster we run, the faster we move, the more pressured we feel, the more out of touch we get in general. So we live to a large degree in our heads, and very often we are out of touch with the whole of the body.
Jon Kabat-Zinn is an expert at getting people back in touch with their bodies. He's a molecular biologist turned meditation teacher, the founder of the renowned stress reduction clinic at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, and author of four best-selling books on mindfulness meditation, including his latest called Coming to Our Senses. Now, if you're a person who lives in your head, you might want to hear what Jon Kabat-Zinn told Steve Paulson about ways to get back in touch with the body.
One is to actually cultivate intimacy with your breathing. It may sound weird, but most of the time, unless we're choking or we have a very bad cold, we just never pay any attention to our breath. Of course, unless we have some kind of chronic lung disease. But if you start to befriend the breath, which means not think about your breath all the time or obsess about it, but just notice that there is a sensory dimension to breathing because the breath is continually flowing in and out of the body. The only breath that we really care about is this breath. We don't care about past breaths or the future breaths. So the breath is a very sort of basic way to help us to become more embodied in the present moment.
Is there a breathing exercise we could do right now here on the radio?
Yeah, although we'd have to caution people to be careful if they're driving or doing anything, you know, working with heavy machinery or anything where, as they're listening, they need to be paying attention to something else. So what we could do is just bring our awareness to a sense of the breath moving in and out of the body right in this moment. However you're sitting or standing, whatever the posture of your body, not changing anything, but just noticing that you're breathing. And also noticing where you feel the sensations of breathing most vividly. Some people immediately go to the nostrils, and it's a wonderful place to just feel the caress of the air moving in and out of the body. Other people might be drawn down into the belly where, you know, the lungs, of course, aren't in the belly, but you can feel the gentle ballooning out of the abdomen on each in-breath and the falling away of the abdomen on each out-breath. And basically, as I said, you ride on the waves of your breath with full awareness, moment by moment, just feeling it. The full duration of this breath coming in, the full duration of this breath leaving the body. And you can expand the field of awareness around the breath to include a sense of the body as a whole, breathing, whether you're sitting or standing or walking. And then you could include in it the soundscape, everything that's coming in through the ears at the present moment, and the sightscape if your eyes are open, and the touch of the feet on the floor. And there's no end to this. And the thoughts that are moving through your mind and the mood or feeling that's going on in your heart in this moment. And all of this can be held in the gigantic embrace of awareness, which all of a sudden becomes quite spacious and actually can hold anything and everything, including the past and the future, inside the present moment without having to have anything happen. Nothing needs to happen. We just rest in this awareness. And then out of this silence, out of this stillness, out of this being, a natural kind of feeling, seeing, sensing arises where it's almost as if you feel like, oh my God, I've been really out of touch with my life.
You can really see things in a new way. You can see things deeper.
Exactly.
You go deeper.
Exactly. And it's not like, oh, you have to move to Tibet or Nepal and sit on top of a mountain or in a cave for 30 years and then maybe you'll see things differently. It's available to us 24/7 right here and right now. And that's the big secret. In some way, the open secret is that it's not about getting anywhere else. It's about realizing how your wholeness right in this moment, that in some way, you're already complete. And everything you've wanted in life, you know, everything that you were hoping to turn into, well, it's very likely that to a large degree, this is it. You've already turned out. And of course, things are going to grow and change, and there's nothing wrong with ambition and desire and, you know, hoping to sort of shape your life in different ways. But the fact of the matter is, if you're out of touch with the present moment, then you'll never get anywhere, no matter how successful or accomplished you are, because you'll always be looking for something else or judging that it wasn't what you hoped it to be. This is a way of reclaiming the full spectrum of your life in the only times we ever have, which is moment by moment by moment by moment by moment.
You know, it strikes me one thing that you're doing, and you've really been a pioneer in this country in this regard, is you're taking to some degree a tradition that has been associated with a certain spiritual tradition or religious tradition,
yes,
particularly from Asia,
yes,
and you're kind of adapting it for a much more secular culture.
Yeah, although, you see, people are confused about that because, you know, it seems like it's kind of a backdoor into religion, but really it's more like a front door into being human. What I've tried to do is take the essence, as you were saying, of these traditions that ordinarily are associated with Asia and make it obvious that this has nothing to do with Asia. Mindfulness is no more Buddhist than the law of gravity is Italian because of Galileo. I like to think of the Buddhas, as other people have said, as a kind of world-class scientist, a total genius who didn't have any instruments for measuring anything other than his own mind and body and went deeply, deeply, deeply into inquiring into the nature of his own mind and the possibility of liberating the mind from what he termed greed, hatred, and delusion. And he left very careful lab notes, and they really have to do with being human, not with being Buddhist.
Now, one thing I'm curious about is, as we've said, there's been kind of a revolution that's gone on in America over the last couple of decades. Meditation is just widely practiced, and many people practice yoga and all kinds of things that really were very much of a fringe kind of thing 30 years ago. So I guess the question is, now that so many more people are doing these things, are we actually seeing a change in our culture? Has this really changed something fundamental about America?
Yeah, or is it just Davy Crockett, you know, coonskin caps all over again, or hula hoops, you know, because Americans get into fads very, very easily. Well, it's a profound question, and I do not think this is a fad. I think that this is a deep transformative current in our society. In the past 25 years, one of the most amazing things is that mindfulness-based stress reduction, which is what we call what we do, has spread around the world in hospitals and clinics and medical centers. And there's a whole new level of science that's being done on the mind-body connection through mindfulness that's really unprecedented.
Well, let me just pursue that for a moment. Tell me about, say, one of the most exciting science projects, research areas that you're witnessing right now.
Well, we've demonstrated in a study with people with the skin disease psoriasis that if they're meditating while they're receiving ultraviolet light therapy for their skin disease, because the ultraviolet light heals the skin, although it doesn't cure the disease, that the meditators heal at about four times the rate of the non-meditators in a randomized clinical trial, which suggests that something that the mind can actually influence what amounts to an uncontrolled cell proliferation down to the level of gene expression and cell replication in the skin. And since, you know, uncontrolled cell proliferation is really a feature of cancer, if the mind can do that for psoriasis, you can see that there are a lot of interesting studies that might be done to see whether that would be true for, say, basal cell carcinoma or even other kinds of cancer. Those are the kinds of things that are happening now in mind-body medicine that, you know, it's a field that's really in its infancy, but it's being profoundly accepted by the rest of medicine and science because of the quality of the science that's actually being done in the laboratories that it's coming out of.
John Kabat-Zinn is a professor of medicine and the founder of the Stress Reduction Clinic at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. He's written 4 books on mindfulness meditation, including his latest, Coming to Our Senses. Steve Paulson spoke with him. You've been listening to a segment from PRI's To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas. If you would like to hear the program in its entirety, visit ttbook.org or check with your local public radio station. You can also download the entire hour at audible.com/ttbook.